We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Luis Contreras trying to start the handshake line, and we get a ground ball to Altuve. Four-hit day, and he makes the play for the final out. Astros win it 9-1. And Blummer, after a rough start to this homestand, that's good back-to-back games here to wrap it up.
It is. There it is. As a little day baseball goes the way of the Astros, and they win the series against the Nationals. As he sit there, started off 0-5 on this homestand with the A's in game one of this series. But the Astros get good performances from their offense. The bats wake up the last 2 days. Jose Altuve, Yiner Diaz, front and center when it comes to that. But they win 9-1 today. Ryan Gusto, with his haircut, had a really good performance. 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned, and 5 strikeouts, 1 walk. And so he was really, really good. So that was a big step for him, because they need all of these guys, especially the guys not named Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez, to step up and give solid performances. And it did seem like when he got a little run support, that calmed him down and settled him down a bit. But they win the game today, 9-1. Clint, big to get these last two as they go on the road to face a team that is in the mix, the Boston Red Sox, in the mix for the AL wild card.
Yeah, look, I mean, huge to get to stop the bleeding, if you will, but to get back-to-back dubs and maybe even along the way get a couple of guys rolling. You know, I mean, you talked about Yiner Diaz. You know, Hummel obviously contributed 2 straight days. I don't want to put a ton of stock into that because I don't know how long he's going to be around and be a starter. But Yiner Diaz, back-to-back games, you know, he goes out there and produces, and you hope that's just the beginning of him kind of turning the corner and taking that next step. And so not only do the Astros get a couple of wins, and does Gusto return to let's call it form, and got us a good outing at least, but maybe you got a couple of the guys, a couple of the starters that have stayed healthy all year, maybe you've got one of them in Yiner Diaz that potentially turned the corner.
Yeah, and Yiner's a big one, man. Now, he hasn't just been downright just pathetic. I mean, he's hitting 245, you know, 15 home runs now. He hasn't been pathetic, but clearly, Clint, he's been in a space where they got no problems throwing guys that probably you wouldn't think would be caught dead hitting in front of him based off what he has done the last 2 years, like Jacob Melton coming right in and hitting in front of him. Jake Myers hitting in front of him at many times this year. He's hit 7th, 8th at times this year. And he just hasn't been himself and not been the offensive threat. And so then with him not being the offensive threat, it makes his defense look even more shaky. But him to go in this series, in these last 2 games of this series, 5-for-8, going deep twice with that big power, 4 RBIs as well to go along with those 2 home runs. If you can get him rolling, that is a huge thing that I think this offense has consistently been missing.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, it hasn't. The numbers will tell you that it's been okay, nothing to really fret about. But I think, like, for me, I'll be honest with you. Like, I was at a point last year where the power wasn't there that was there the previous year, but boy, he was clutch as hell. I mean, it just seemed like he was always in the mix, always making some kind of noise. And he's been, maybe, let's just call it, a little bit quiet this year, in a year when I personally expected him to step up and be somewhere in that 3-4-5 range, depending on how. Now, that was before I knew Jeremy Pena was going to be a solid leadoff hitter, so that changes things. But, you know, I just thought he would be really push into that 3-4-5 spot and be, you know, basically an immovable player, right? A guy that was a staple in those spots where, as you said, he slid up and down again. So here we are, another year where Yiner Diaz just slides up and down. I expected it to be a little bit more of a solid year. Hopefully, we'll get to that as the back half of the season here unwinds.
Yeah, big one though. Big one to get and finish this thing off well after the start was so troubling. As they sit here, 62-47 after getting the dub against Washington. Now, the other side of things, as we get to tomorrow around this time, the trade deadline will be passed, and we'll see what moves the Astros will make. But they are being linked to multiple players, and the two that are really jumping out, and I think of interest. We heard the one yesterday, Dylan Cease to the Astros. Potentially will probably happen. That's from Jim Bowden, former GM. He's the one that kind of talked about the interest level yesterday, one of the first ones to talk about the interest level of the Astros with Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease, who has been a Cy Young candidate before with the White Sox, was really good last year for the Padres. This year his numbers are not great, but he is a guy that has excellent stuff, and this could be a very similar move to Kikuchi. Let's start with Dylan Cease, Clint. The potential of bringing him in, it was the word on the street was Dana Brown said they were looking for a potential third starter. I think he would fit that mold very similar to what you say Kikuchi did.
I don't know if he would land in that third spot when it all when it does settles, because I don't know what we're going to get from these other guys. But I know as an Astros fan, I really like him being healthy. I don't care about the numbers. Him being healthy with a high ceiling in the mix with a Lance McCullers that hopefully can stay blister free, Christian Javier that hopefully can return to form and be maybe even better than he was before. And you know, you got several guys that are coming back with Spencer Arrigetti, with Luis Garcia. JP France was even in that mix. So you got a lot of these guys coming back, and I don't know how it's going to unfold in that 3, 4, 5 spot as we roll through the backside of the season here. But I love adding a guy that immediately at least is in the conversation for that third spot, assuming he can right the ship. And these other guys maybe don't pitch up to expectation. But I, as an Astros fan, I am a lot more comfortable with that, with the starting rotation getting healthy. If you add that you know third starter level pitcher in there in Dylan Cease, no question about it.
And then the other name is the one that will really get the conversation going here, and that is the potential reunion with Carlos Correa. Bob Nightingale saying that as well, clearly. And it's just not Correa. There have been other names connected with the Astros. Nolan Arenado, we heard about him in the offseason. Suarez as well with the Diamondbacks potentially connected there. Those are all potential third basemen. Carlos Correa, you know, would potentially move over. But those are infielders, which kind of lets you know potentially where Paredes is when it comes to an injury. But Carlos Correa, who's not been great, I mean, be honest with you, I mean, 265, 317 on base, 384 slug, 7 homers, 31 RBIs throughout this year. But there is a potential that he would play third base. He has already made it clear that he would waive his no-trade clause for only one team, the Houston Astros. He's already talked to people on the team about that, which he still has guys over there. Carlos Correa, I think, would bring a ton of excitement and a lot of juice in that clubhouse. But it isn't just an easy thing to figure out, especially after this year.
Yeah, it's not easy. There's 3.5 years left on the contract.
Yep.
It obviously would take the Minnesota Twins picking up a big chunk of that, which I think, at least what I've read, the research I've done, the Minnesota Twins are aware of having to pick up a big chunk of that. And I'm sitting here, you know, again, as an Astros fan going, can we get Carlos Correa at a discounted rate and add him to this mix, play third base with that level of defense, add that bat to the middle of the lineup, and that level of a leader that is very familiar with all of his surroundings here in Houston, the manager, everybody involved. If you can add that level of leader back to this clubhouse, a clubhouse that most people understand, like Altuve is really the only one that you have left that was one of those original Astros that can hold this thing together. Not that they don't have young guys coming up or even vets that they've added, but Altuve is one of the mainstays. Adding Carlos Correa back to that, I think, would be a huge plus in the intangible world as well. So I'm all in on Carlos Correa returning to the Astros, and the more the Twins pick up of that contract, the better it sounds to me.
Yeah, and we'll see. But there has been a lot of talk, a lot of smoke around that situation. Obviously, there is still, you know, 24 hours, a little less than that, to go before the trade deadline. But that is something to look at. And it looks like Dana Brown is on the horn. Him and Jim Crane are looking to add to this team. And right now, this team, who is in first place in the West, definitely needs to add some pieces.
If you don't know the facts, then you got to shut the
5 o'clock fire.
All right, I do want to get to day 7 training camp, the overall thoughts of things. If you're just getting in your car, we'll let you know what we saw today. But, Clint, there was an injury out there. Keontae Hamilton, the rookie lineman, practice kind of came to a halt there. And it's a left leg injury. They brought an air cast out there. It looks like a serious injury, which is kind of tough for that guy in his dream. Although I know for you, Clint, you watch this and think, well, it may not be as bad as you think it is if he wasn't going to make this team. But he did have a significant injury out there, Clint, and we'll see what happens with him.
Yeah, look, you never like to see anybody get injured like this. I mean, regardless of what level they are on the squad or on the depth chart, and I hope he's okay. It was a stop practice, bring out the cart.
Yeah.
Get him off the field and make sure he's safe and everything's immobilized and yada yada yada. It was not a good look and a good scene. I mean, clearly he's got a serious injury. When you're a rookie and you're just at the bottom of the barrel trying to scratch for any rep you can get and hopefully make the squad, this is one way to damn sure stick around for a year, make a little bit of money. That's for damn sure. Get you a year in the books in terms of your retirement. Yes, this is it ain't all bad on the back end of this thing.
No, yeah, it ain't all bad, but it a tough thing, tough situation. The first real injury we've really seen at camp here on the field. But outside of that, Clint, the overall thought today from camp. Yesterday, it felt like some folks felt good about the steps maybe the offense made. Today was a different story.
Yeah, I think today was a rough go at it for the offense. I think particularly from a pass protection standpoint, as I was in my C.J. Stroud rep counting stance, the first two team periods, there was 20 total reps, I believe. C.J. Stroud got 8 of those reps. 6 of them were passes, and I believe there was 3 or 4. I know there was 3 or 4 pressures. There was 4 pressures, but there was 3 or 4 sacks within there. So the pass protection was a real struggle. I know I tried to chart some of the 2-minute drive that C.J. Stroud did later in practice. Pressure was a big problem there as well. He did complete a ball on Kamari Lassiter to Nico Collins down the sideline, kind of a 50-50 ball where he threw with the lineman, you know, right in his face where he couldn't follow through, but he made a great throw and Nico made a great catch. I think it was Nico on Lassiter. So they were able to make a little something out of nothing, but the pass protection today really made it tough on the offense to get anything going in any particular drill.
Yeah, and hopefully that isn't something that that continues. But a little rougher day there for the offense, and we'll see as things continue. There is as you said, the O-line, very much what we saw last year during the regular season, put them in a position where there wasn't a lot of things that they could do offensively, and hopefully that isn't something that is going to be something they continue. But they will have an off day tomorrow and be back at it on Friday and over the weekend. So much deserved off day as they've been going at it in pads. And I know Clint's laughing right now when I say much deserved off day as they've been going at it in pads for an hour and a half. But for today's day and age, they 3 days in a row full pads, you need an off day.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, speaking of other news in training camp, we talked about Dallas and the Micah Parsons situation and their contract situation earlier. The other big defensive lineman situation is Trey Hendrickson with the Bengals. He is ending his holdout, Clint. He is arriving, and he believes the arrival will serve as a good faith gesture to spark negotiations with team. Both sides are near agreement on length of the deal and total value of it, but the holdup in negotiations is over the guaranteed money in the contract, sources told Adam Schefter. But he is ending the holdout and actually going to camp with the thought that this will make the Bengals push forward and make a move.
Yeah, the interesting part to that is if they don't, does he just play? Does he have 1 year left on his deal? Is that the deal here, or is it? I'm assuming if he's going to camp, he's got one year.
Yeah, one year.
He's not going to camp with no deal.
Yeah, no, it's 1 year left.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if this is to hell with it. I'll go to camp for 1 year, play my year, and then go to hit free agency just full bore. Or I'll hope that these guys. Now, I'm sure if they moved and gave some guaranteed money, look, he's not going to play for no guarantee for the right amount of guaranteed money. So. We'll see. This is one of the more wild deals. This one, and obviously the Michael Parsons thing. You think those guys would be get paid
wild,
pretty quickly?
Listen, they went out and took care of all their guys. They took care of two wide receivers before they take care of him.
Yeah,
which is wild. But they did finally bring in their first round rookie, where they were at a standoff with him, and maybe this is something where they can get it taken care of. But Trey Hendrickson, one of the best defensive players in football, led the league in sacks last year, has had 17-plus the last two seasons. He has decided to return to camp. Usually these guys sit it on out, but he has decided to come back to camp. Coming up, I want to talk about one of the young players we haven't really had a lot of conversation about, and something that was maybe a bit disappointing, not just the tough day the offense had, but other things that may have been a little disappointing with that side of the ball. We'll discuss that next.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyers Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Shout out to our guy, Davey Young. Is Ryan Hader coming out? Or Ryan Hader. Is Josh Hader coming out somewhere? Good Lord.
Well, we come in with this music almost on the daily.
Well, I think Josh Hader must be running out here towards us. But
glad your head's on a swivel, bub.
I do. He gets him come out there. I got to experience it that game that day you left early. To experience them get the lights closed and the fireman come out.
I was there nice. For that, so you don't remember, right?
No, I didn't say you wasn't there for it. I said the game that you left early. I didn't say you left early.
That's the way
before,
you worded it, but it's all right.
Before Josh.
It's okay.
But by the way, I saw the old Ryan Gusto haircut. Shout out to Davey Young. It's a tough thing because he just has such an odd shaped head.
That is precisely, Ron, why you've got to put some thought into it.
But now it's does he have the ability to grow more? Because that hairline is hiked back. It's just, I don't know what all he can go with.
He's going to have to lower the fade, allow the rolled portion of the edge of the top right there before it goes long, allow that to grow out so that's part of your top. And then your fade starts lower, and you've got a little bit of a chance of your actual hair.
A little bit of a chance.
You, like right now, the hair on top of his head is so much more narrow than his actual head; it looks silly. Like you've got to give that hair a chance to widen out so that it's as wide or maybe a tad bit wider than your dome, and then that big face don't stand out as much.
Because they turned him to the side, Clint, and now you could really see what he's dealing with.
Oh.
And the side of the head is just—I don't know, man. It's not a lot. He doesn't have that hairline is moving back, so he doesn't have a lot of time with that. But
I just think I could do wonders for him, Ron. You know,
wonders, huh?
I'm pretty positive that I could help him in a major way.
I wonder if there's a Mrs. Gusto, and this is the decision she's made. Yeah, how much she's involved in it, but. As you said, Clint Sterner, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you come up with a name for Clint Sterner's Help Men Out company.
I'm telling you, man, it's got legs, man.
It is
literally one of my business, one of many business ideas that have died on the vine. This one I regret. Many of them I'm like, what am I thinking? This one I regret.
Well,
I think there could be a secret page out there for fellas to dive into
secret.
Every now. Yeah, just dive into every now and then. Right?
Keep it secret. Keep
like
it
a
secret.
Hitch.
I mean,
it's a secret. Yeah. Well, speaking of something that has legs, Jaden Higgins,
two long ones.
The wide receiver, the first overall selection in the draft for the Texans in the second round for them. I'm just I'm wondering what you are seeing from him thus far, because he's not the only receiver in the class, and it does seem like Noel is the one who's making a lot more noise. I remember being on or listening to Brandon Scott when he was on In the Loop, or maybe he was filling in for Seth. I mean, he's all over the place. Check him out, all his work, sportsradio610.com. But B. Scott was saying, you know, he is somebody who jumps off the field when you're watching and you see him. He's somebody that you're looking at, and it continued once the pads came on as well. And not to say that Higgins has been bad or anything, because there were some plays he's made. I'm sure people have seen that long one-handed catch he made in mandatory minicamp. But it doesn't seem like he's one of the performers that kind of jumped out to you on a day-to-day basis. What are you seeing from Jaden Higgins?
Well, look, I think there is a he's very raw. I think he's a big-bodied outside receiver that's not gonna get a lot of the easy, you know, change of direction, quick twitch, shake you out of your shoes, juke routes over the middle. That the quarterback those 5 yards. All you gotta do is make yourself available. He's not gonna get those catches typically. I think what we've done around here is we've watched a big body receiver in Nico Collins do mid-size possession type receiver stuff, which is a huge compliment, by the way. He is an extremely well-rounded wide receiver. And then we just expect Higgins to be able to, another big body, tall, long wide receiver to come in and do the same thing. And the reality is I just don't think he's that guy. I think he is.
Right now?
Well, I don't think he's going to be that guy ever. I think. And look, I'm shooting in the dark here. I've seen the guy practice 7 times, but I think Higgins is an outside, big-bodied, 50-50 ball catcher that is going to force you potentially. If you put your number 2 corner on him, you better have a safety over the top in the red zone kind of deal. That's the ceiling. Like, that's who I think Higgins is. Is a true outside receiver. I was wrong on Nico Collins. Nico Collins can play anywhere he wants to. I was dead ass wrong on it. In fact, I would argue that he's better at all the other stuff than what the go ball, the 50-50 ball, the big body stuff outside. I'd argue he's better at everything else than that. So I was dead ass wrong. But I think Higgins is legitimately one of those guys. And so what you're seeing is a young wide receiver that is playing one position, which is an outside wide receiver. And, you know, it's going to take him a little time to come into his own. I think the other guys, the Christian Kirks, the even John Mechie's have been moved inside. The Jalen Knoll, the kid, his teammate from college. I think they're more move guys that are going to make them. They're going to be the underneath quick stuff for the quarterback to get the ball out, and so that they're going to get more catches from a volume standpoint. They're going to get more. It wouldn't shock me at all if Higgins came in and he didn't have many catches at all, but in the first month of the season he's got 2 or 3 plays that flip games. You know, that's the kind of impact I'm looking for.
Yeah, maybe because didn't it feel like Will Fuller was kind of like that at first?
Like I wasn't around for Will's rookie. I don't think I was here for his rookie
early,
first couple of
Will,
years.
Will felt like a guy that, right, yeah, you know, he's averaging, you know, 15 yards a catch, but, you know, like one year he's got 45 targets. But he's averaging 15 yards a catch. You know, his biggest year was 53 catches on 75 targets, where he averaged over 16.6. But he gets 879 yards receiving on 53 catches, because the bulk of them are big plays. The bulk of them are down the field stuff. I can see, like, potentially being his role, especially early. Kind of to the point you're saying, not as much that he is going to be a guy that you can see catching crossers or catching slants or, you know, doing all of the routes.
Well, he's not. The problem with Fuller comp is he's just nowhere near as fast, right? He was just a speed guy that kept everybody on their heels. I mean, even if he does have those kind of stats, it's going to look different. I think he is a true big body. He is what we thought Nico was going to be. I think, and we've seen this in camp as well. I think he's very comfortable with contact. He's open when he's covered. I think he's very good at the back shoulder stuff. He's very good at high pointing the ball. Like he is a big, long bodied receiver and does those types of things. Now he's also that big target over the middle, in your basic offense. I just don't know how often we're gonna see him be the guy that they go to over the other options.
Yeah, we'll see. He's obviously going to be in the plans. He's obviously going to have a role, but like you said, his role may come out in games where he's got like three or four catches, but maybe one of them was a down the field play.
The beauty in it is you know, when you line up, you know, 6'4" on one side, 6'4" on the other, and then you've got Christian Kirk and you've got some combination of one of the tight ends, and then you've got, you know, your top couple of running backs in the backfield, you've got a complete skill set offensively, a very complementary skill set. And if you're going to move anybody, you're going to move Christian Kirk, you're going to move Brevin Jordan, you're going to move Nico Collins, right? We're going to move Joe Mixon. You know, I just think Higgins is a guy that's down the list on all of that stuff. So, which is great for a rookie, and I do think he has the ability to impact games, because we've seen him every third day make a catch out here that would change a game.
Yeah,
you just don't see the volume that you see. Like you look up and Noel has four or five catches in a practice, and you're like, damn, the ball's just finding him. Higgins hadn't had that day.
Yeah. All right, coming up as we continue, T-Mill's best bets. Folks, he's hot. He was in the green today, and already he hit all of his Astros bets, all of them today. He is 3-for-3 in the green yesterday. He's hot, so it's time to jump on the bandwagon as T-Mill's best bets are coming up. And we'll give you the latest. Big night for Christian Javier. We'll let you know the game plan with him. And when Jeremy Pena could return, and I want you to think about this. Is it really clear if Carlos Correa comes here that he's the one to move to third base? Is that set in stone? That's the route? That's the easy route? We'll discuss all of that coming up next.
They were playing that song about you swag and surf, and I looked around. I was like, this is pretty sweet.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyers Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we continue live. It has been a fun Wednesday, as always. Coming up behind us, the two sexies, Texans All Access, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, Henry Toa Toa. You'll hear him. As you will hear the fellas interview Henry Toa Toa live coming up right behind us.
Oh, my bad about that teasing there, dude.
What? You'll hear him. It's coming up right after we get done. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, as they've been holding it down at camp as well. Catching them in the mornings. Make sure you listen to them in the mornings as well. They'll be off tomorrow, although with an off day coming up. But behind us, Texans All Access, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, Henry Toa Toa coming up. So you make sure you stay tuned for that. And following that, Area 45, they are back in action. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Chris Santiago getting after it tonight. I'm sure they'll talk a little bit about this Astros win, and they will. And I'm telling you, I think it's really important that you stay with those bastards tonight, because they will have any kind of news that may come out. Trade news, anything that could come out with Carlos Correa, with Dylan Cease, with Nolan Arenado, whoever. They may have trade discussion or info, so stay tuned for those guys as they hold it down live and local 7 to 11.
Be cautious with Creighton tonight.
And Bajani and Santiago, be cautious with all of them tonight. Best bets coming up in just a bit as well. By the way, I threw that out. Fellas, if both of y'all can jump in on this. It's already decided that Carlos Correa would be the one to play third? Is Pena the better shortstop? There's a situation to me of,
I don't know
Pena,
about better.
There's a situation of, is Pena the better shortstop? And then, by the way, Is this still Carlos's team if he's on it? Like, does he have seniority?
Oh,
over?
It picks right back up. He's in ownership. Absolutely.
Does he have seniority over there? I mean, I guess I don't. I mean, obviously, it's already been kind of spoken about him playing third. But when I saw that, I'm like, is he automatically going over?
Well, yeah. Now, look, I think he automatically goes to third. Absolutely, there. Jeremy Peña at third just doesn't look right to me. Doesn't even add up. So, I mean, whether
Correa's cannon for an arm.
Yeah. Correa can make the move. Correa can Alex Rodriguez this thing and move to third and with no problem, and we can keep this thing moving forward. And I don't know how real it was, but when we were talking about the Astros possibly going after Bregman before he signed with the Red Sox, the thought was Paredes could play second base kind of deal, or Bregman could play second base. And so I don't know that it – best case scenario, Paredes does come back late. Can he play second base at that point in time? So, look, I think Los is an ideal third baseman given the scenario, and absolutely you can't keep – you can't keep an alpha from being an alpha, and I think he steps back in and he is immediately, he's immediately that dude. Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad you brought up the A-Rod situation, because A-Rod was the better third base, was the better shortstop between him and Jeter defensively. He was the better shortstop, but it was Jeter, and it was the Yankees.
It's a biracial angel.
All right. This is. That Pena's not Jeter right now. Well, obviously, I think he would come over and not
better.
I would assume that Carlos, you're probably right. I would assume Carlos Clint would come over and be like, "Hey, you got it. I just want to be a part of this bad boy, man. I just want to get over here and be a part and be back with the fellas and be back with the boys, and I'll play a little third base and do my thing and let you hold it down." By the way, that would be a hell of a defensive. That side of the field right there at short and at third, with those arms and range that those two guys have. But yeah, you're probably right. I'm sure Carlos would roll over to
He's
third.
He's an alpha.
He is an alpha. He is. He will take over this bad boy. By the way, if you missed it with Christian Javier, he is going to go and make another start with AAA Sugarland.
Big cheeks.
Tonight, yes. I wouldn't say big cheeks, but...
swollen.
A little puffy. A little puffy.
Yeah, that is the best one, puffy.
A little puffy. But the Astros hope to get 55 to 60 pitches out of Christian Javier today as he takes the mound for the Space Cowboys. Jeremy Peña, he's going to play shortstop. Have the day off tomorrow, and hopefully at that point he could potentially rejoin the club, and maybe he is playing next to Carlos Correa. Maybe Correa is already there as when he comes back from his IL stint with those ribs. Again, if you missed it, he did get in, played with the Space Cowboys yesterday, went 0-for-2, but he did have a walk, hit by pitch, scored 2 runs. And those 0-for-2 were strikeouts there. But as we talked about earlier, Clint, for him, it's not really about performance. It's more about him getting his work in, him feeling good, no pain when he swings, no pain when he lets it all out, and if he can just push it 100%.
Hell, I would argue him getting off balance or out in front of a pitch or behind a pitch and having some awkward swing is more beneficial, and obviously not having any kind of pain during that is more beneficial than him getting up there and just raking on the first couple of pitches every time he's at the plate. So, it doesn't matter. Jeremy Peña can be 0-for-5, 0-for-6. He can be 4-for-4. I don't give a damn. It's just a matter of getting out there, getting the game reps, pulling the trigger, letting it rip a few times, and then how quickly can you get back to the big leagues with the Astros, whether it's at home or it's on the road. How quickly can he get back here?
Yeah. From the text line, of course Peña is the better shortstop. Stupid question. Well, then it would be stupid to not play him at shortstop then.
Did you see my reply to that texter?
That's a stupid question.
Stop wasting stupid. My time with a dumbass text, listener.
It could be a stupid
Love you,
stupid
buddy.
Answer.
Thanks for listening.
I'll be honest with you. I think Peña could play third base. I'll be honest with you. I think they both could play third base. Third base It's easier.
But you know what I'm saying with Correa's arm. I mean, we've seen it. That thing is a –
yeah.
I mean, he can throw a frozen
rope. I just think it's more about both of them are above average fielders at short, and you would just They're not rock the boat. Athletic. And he is going to be your future at short. And so you rolled there. But we'll see. Let's not get too carried away. It has not occurred yet. But tomorrow is a big day. By the way, you fellas think we're talking about big moves for the Astros when we get in tomorrow. They're off tomorrow, the Astros and the Texans. You think we're talking about big moves already by the time we get on the air?
Man, that'd be fun.
Yeah, I think we are. Yeah. I think we are. There's too much smoke out there right now for there not to be some level of fire somewhere. So, yeah, Dana Brown got me good and worked up in that damn booth last night. When them boys were talking to him about, I mean, he was super transparent. Hell yeah, we're working. In fact, I'm done with this. At this commercial break, I'm out, boy. I gotta go back to work.
The beginnings of a baseball boom.
Yeah, man.
When you say good and worked up like that, it really sounds like you really did get good.
Well,
worked up.
Hell,
like
I didn't make it up. I did. Turn me on.
Like you were in there in a sweat and got it and ready to get after it. All right. Tyler, give us a – he's hot, folks, in the green yesterday.
And I'm always sweaty, ready, and ready to get after it.
Okay. In the green yesterday.
I didn't feel right.
Hit all three of his Astros bets already today. He's made over $400. And he's got T-Mill's best bets. And we gets on a streak. He gets on a streak, whether it's winning or losing. He gets on a streak. So maybe this is the streak. What you got tonight?
How damn beautiful. Hearing you say that number. Because we all knew I needed a green day and needed it bad to some degree. 400, though? Let's go get some drinks, so
that,
boys.
Does that mean that you have room?
I do. I told Clint I do.
How about it, Clint?
Check on his wagers, man. Let's check on his
now,
wagers.
Now, it'll be Clint Sterner decision time if he's going to tell or not. Five like best bets.
We I like hit. That final one.
Yeah. Five best bets, like we've been doing all week. Monday sucked. Last night was cool. Let's make this one terrific. Rays plus 1.5. Rays plus 1.5 as they are traveling to the Bronx to play those turd-ass Yankees. The lowly Athletics of not Oakland. Homeless A's plus 1.5 as well. They are hosting the Mariners, wherever their home is. Back to the Rays and Yankees. I'm on the under in that game. Under 9 runs in that one at minus 105. Back to that other game, Athletics Mariners. I'm on this under as well, under 9.5 runs between the Mariners and A's tonight. And then lastly, a player prop for you. He plays for that team up Highway 45, the Arlington Rangers. Uvalde, H-Town native, starting for the Rangers. I got him over 5.5 Ks
Nate Dog
against the Angels tonight for the Houston native, Nathan Uvalde. Those are your five best bets.
Yeah,
it's that old boy that Linda went after, wasn't it? Back when he was up in Boston.
Yeah, he's been pitching really, really well here of late and getting a lot of K's. So that one's not a bad one. I like that one. I'm not putting any of my own money. Obviously, I'm putting doors in right now.
You don't even have to say anymore. Dude.
I'll put $100 on that one. That Evaldi, I'll ride that one.
That's right. Ride the wave, baby. Man.
There you go, that, Ron. Nah. Talking to it, Ron.
Nah, man, I got these. Shout out to Brad at Brick House, but I got these guys putting in doors. Maybe I got to back off. I haven't even got to the floors yet, so it's dicey now. Can't do it. I really would have liked to ride that hot streak with you. Just can't.
That's,
can't go with you
that's
guys.
That's just a lie. But okay.
I thought about it, man. I have my wallet out.
Also, just a lie.
I got two singles.
You did
really
great
do.
Today on the show, though, bro.
I did. Clint, you did great.
Thanks,
Tyler, great job as well. He's hot, folks. See if he can continue in the green. I am Ron the Show. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
Put money in my pocket.
Tyler's back on that train today, Ron.
It's just the third inning, so look out. But
doesn't change Altuve over 1.5 bases, mother effer.
Hey, he didn't need that, Ron. That's dirty. He didn't need that,
doesn't change over 3.5 for Ozardi hitting, sucker.
He is having a – he is absolutely on cloud nine right now, and you just poked the damn balloon.
Don't
you ain't worth
the $350 in my pocket on a Wednesday afternoon.
Were you in the green yesterday? That's the question. Was you in the green yesterday?
Damn right.
He told me I could bet today. Just
one look at you. Tyler, I love you too, man. You so H-Town.